The advice provided by our parenting experts are not intended or implied as a substitute for professional medical advice, nor for medical diagnosis or treatment. Your reliance on the information provided by the experts is at your own risk. Depending on individual and personal facts and circumstances, your medical doctor's recommendation on treatment and management may vary. Please continue to consult your own healthcare professional.
Hey guys, welcome to the very first episode of the Parent Team Podcast, real parents facing modern problems together. My name is JC.
Hi everybody, Jelly here. This podcast is brought to you by YF Nutrition Parent Team and powered by Podcast Network Asia.
Okay, so for episode one, we sat down with Dr. Gia Sison and started talking about debunking pregnancy myths. But I think we got so much more from the talk.
A whole lot more, that is right, from nutrition and exercise to essential oils and concepts like pregnancy bloom. We got to talk about all of them right here.
You know, aside from debunking all of these myths, we also got to talk about taking care of mom's mental health during pregnancy and how dads like us actually have a crucial role during this critical time.
Thank you, by the way, to Dr. Gia for making herself available. And without further ado, this is Debunking Pregnancy Myths with Dr. Gia Sison.
Marriage. Time plays a very important role. So I'm here today to challenge anyone who's married with kids or going to go down that path one day to really think about your time.
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy is a really great experience. And there can be this amazing feeling of pride.
Parenthood.
It's about balancing the now with the future while teaching the right habits and hoping that your kids grow up to be great.
This is the Parent Team Podcast, powered by Podcast Network Asia, brought to you by Wyeth Nutrition.
We are okay, good.
So welcome. Everybody, welcome to episode one of season one.
We're emphasizing awesome. That welcome. Season one because we want more seasons to come. Welcome to Parent Team. I am one of the hosts of this show. My name is Jelly Victor.
My name is JC Alelis, and joining us today is Dr. Gia Sison. Hello, Doctora. How are you?
Hi, guys. Hi, JC. Hi, Jelly. And good morning, good evening, good afternoon to everyone.
So to tell you guys more about Dr. Gia, she's a medical doctor. She specializes in occupational medicine, and she's also a co-founder of the social media advocacy group Health XPH, and she's the current head of the Women's Wellness Center in Makati Med. And aside from that, Jelly, why don't you tell us more about Dr.?
You know, another part about Doctora that I absolutely love is, you know, she was formerly the chief medical officer of Global Telehealth Incorporated, which runs Consulta MD. This is a telehealth hotline manned by licensed Filipino doctors 24/7, something that we definitely need. If you want to know more about Doc Gia, check out the hashtag, just like JC said. It is hashtag HealthXPH. She is the host of CNN Philippines G Talks and of her own podcast, Walwal Sesh. Nako. Marami niyan ngayon, madalas yan. But most of all, yeah, she is a mom to two beautiful daughters. Welcome, Doc Gia.
Hi, Jelly. Hi, JC. And again, hello. Good times of day today.
To everybody, yeah.
All encompassing.
So Jelly.
Yes, dear.
You know, I was the first thing that I asked Doc Gia when I met her off air was to tell me more about Walwal Sesh, because when we talk about Walwal Sesh, it's in the context of inuman. And then I learned that it's all about, you know, mental health, taking care of our mental health, right? And I think that's so appropriate for our topic today, because if there's any demographic that would know about, you know, the stresses that life can put on your mental health, on your well-being, that would be moms, especially new moms, or even pregnant women yet to be moms. Would you agree?
Super agree.
Dr. Gia, we'll get right into it. We will leave the mental health aspect for later. Let's get our listeners excited over the pregnancy and what they can actually do the minute they find out that they're pregnant. Let's start with, this is actually, JC, this was a main problem for me when I first got pregnant. Exercising. Can you exercise when you're pregnant?
Okay. Just to clarify, you can, but it has to be cleared by your OB-GYN or obstetrician. So don't exercise muna. Have yourself cleared first. But you definitely can. And we encourage that. Kasi it increases also the overall wellness of the mom and the baby.
I think so, when you talk about exercise, though, there's a lot of different kinds.
A lot
of different options.
Huwag naman running. Okay. Brisk walking, okay. Huwag yung TRX. Because sometimes, you might fall. Kasi there's balancing issues when you're pregnant. You can do strengthening exercises. On the institution that I practice in, we have Pilates for pregnant women. So, yun, Pilates can help a lot.
Doc Gia, because I remember for a time, because many of our celebrities who got pregnant were showing on their social media accounts that they were exercising. And after I took a prenatal certification course, I also learned that yun nga, exercise is highly recommended. Like you said, it's beneficial, not just for the mom, but also for the baby. If it's an exercise that you're already used to, for example, you are a CrossFitter prior to getting pregnant, or you're a marathon runner, all of this prior to getting pregnant, can you still do that even while you're pregnant? Because, you know, I'm assuming that your body is already used to it. Would it be safe to assume that you can just continue?
From our medical standpoint, you need to slow down a bit. Yun lang. But it's encouraged that you have to move at least 30 minutes every day. But marathon running is out of the picture. High risk na yun eh.
Okay.
Ang tindi na matindi yun, Jess. Tapos... ano pa? Ano ba sa'yo?
And CrossFit.
Like swim bike run pa yan.
Yung CrossFit kasi, there are exercises there that are okay. Kasi diba may circuit trainings yun eh. Pero wag yung sobrang, yung basta walang irihan. Kasi
noted.
So yun. So basta not too strenuous.
Noted.
And ensure that, I like that you got a prenatal certificate prior to exercising. That's highly recommended.
Okay. So, basta you have a go signal of your doctor.
I guess timing is also a factor. Kapag kabuanan na, as they say, if you're almost due, then I think the rules are a little bit more relaxed.
Yes. We don't really recommend on the first trimester. That's the first month to the third month. Kasi that's the, parang yan yung delicate part of pregnancy. And the last, yung last naman, pag manganganak na, we encourage them to walk. Para at least, di ba, walking really helps as well. At saka it helps your sometimes if you're lying down too much, high risk rin na for other diseases. Like, di ba, parang you're sedentary. So, same goes with pregnancy.
You know, I just wanted to share that the problem with me, since I was so careful during my first trimester, dahil nga sabi ko hindi, papalagpasin ko muna yung first trimester before I exercise. Next thing I know, hindi na ako nakapag-exercise.
Na-postpone na talaga all throughout.
Oh, wala na talaga. Okay, so safe exercises, like you said, nothing that compromises your balance. So nothing with the TRX, nothing that is too strenuous, nothing that is irre-levels.
Irre-levels. Gusto ko yun.
Irre-levels.
Okay.
Kasi diba,
there's a lot of that in CrossFit. There's a lot of that in CrossFit.
Yeah.
What about going up and down the stairs? I remember when Denise was almost due. She would go up the stairs at the office again and again and again, up and down.
Yeah, it helps. Actually, JC, it really helps. Kaya ano, in one hospital, I remember, I rotated. I was still a med student then. We would... encourage yung mga manganganak na to walk. Just keep walking para lang to help the baby go down, so to speak.
Doc Gia, side by side with exercising, it's always nutrition. How should a woman eat when she is pregnant? Most popular would be she has to eat for two. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's more of she has to mind for two. It's not just her, it's also about the baby's health. That's why it's not really about eating for two, but it's about the quality of food you eat for you and your baby. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really, pregnancy doesn't really give you the liberty to eat all you can. In fact, we discourage that because we don't want the eating habits to get in the way and develop for the mom to develop other possible conditions like gestational diabetes. So it's more of minding what you eat.
Is there anything that they shouldn't be eating?
Okay, here, less salt. Sobrang dapat, it's a less salt diet and less fat. So carbs is okay, but the right amount of carbs lang. Huwag naman yung isang damakpak ng rice, ganyan. So less salt, less fat. That's what we recommend.
I remember my wife was really struggling about giving up coffee. Because we're big coffee drinkers at home.
Oh no, and, I'm guilty.
You know, she she dropped the coffee. She dropped the coffee right when we found out that we were expecting. Is that something that should be strictly followed? Is there a little bit of wiggle room somewhere there?
Okay. See, I'll be honest. Ako, ang hirap ito.
Going on record.
Marami nakaka-relate. Eh. No, I think kasi not just love the taste of coffee, but rely on it to function every day. And I think even more when you get sleep deprived and when you get tired or when you're anxious about the baby that's coming and then suddenly you have to give it up. But is there an acceptable limit?
Sige. Decaf.
it's not really coffee.
Dapat decaf lang. But I have to admit, when I was pregnant, I drank coffee, but I got OB clearance from that. But decaf. And there are coffee substitutes that we can take. Just ensure lang the ingredients are healthy. So I think you also have to mind the labels when you're pregnant and when you're trying to drink anything or eat anything. I think reading the labels will matter. So that includes coffee intake.
Doc Gia, if you really cannot take decaf, if the only thing you can take is real coffee, what is the maximum allowed intake? I'm just asking for the coffee drinker. One cup a day.
A day.
Yes.
One cup a day.
One cup. One cup, that was space small.
Okay.
One cup.
You have to let that last you all throughout the day.
Yeah, parang it's better to space it. But one cup is okay.
Another drink here, liquor, alcohol.
Yeah.
Wine, hard drinks.
No.
Absolutely not. Not even a glass.
Not even a glass. Not even a shot.
Okay.
Not even a sip. Don't.
All throughout the pregnancy.
For 37 more weeks.
37 yes, to 40 yes. weeks. Okay.
That's right.
What about sushis, Japanese food, raw food?
Okay.
Here's
is
the
that allowed?
One. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
as long as it's safe. Parang you know the source is safe. Kasi there's some sushis and sashimis kasi that they don't prepare properly. So we have to be careful about that too. Because we don't want to risk diarrhea part. We don't want to be dehydrated. But that's fine. Eating sushi and sashimi, as long as it's from a safe source, that's okay.
But there's a lot of different opinions about that you hear everywhere. So much so that some people really say, don't eat sushi. Would you go as far as saying that that's a myth? You know, it's not really, you just have to watch as you said, the source of the
watch
sushi.
Watch the source, lang. Yeah, watch out for the source, lang, JC. It's okay. Eating sushi and sashimi is fine during pregnancy.
Yeah, I felt very strongly about that because, again, my wife, you know, had to deprive herself of coffee. She doesn't drink, so liquor was fine. But then she also had to deprive herself of raw fish and sushi. And sabi ko sa kanya, you know what? If that were true, then sana wala nang Japanese people in the world, you know, because obviously they wouldn't stop eating sushi. They would keep on going. So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, you can naman. Just ensure that it's from a safe source, it's clean, because that's raw also. So there's also a risk of developing other diseases that we don't want to happen.
Siguro we're going into what people believe now, but still in the topic of nutrition, is it true that whatever it is you end up craving so much during your pregnancy, in short, in Tagalog, kung ano yung pinaglilihian, yun yung magiging hilig nung anak. Is there any truth to that?
Or itsura ng anak.
Wag naman yung
in some cases.
Ay, may ganyan. No, it's not true. That's a myth.
There's no correlation whatsoever.
No correlation at all with pregnancy. So, if you feel that you have an inkling with eating mangoes, hindi naman magbubukang mangga yung anak mo.
So, ganun.
So, hindi rin siya maging maasim. It's okay.
What about making sure that you eat a lot of vegetables while you're pregnant so that your child actually likes vegetables when they are born? Is there truth to that?
There's no truth into that. Eating vegetable is actually an attitude or a characteristic that you help your child to develop out of your body.
Okay.
So, hindi siya totoo na. Porket you're a veggie eater, tapos veggie eater na rin yung anak. No, it's not. It's a habit you develop.
You know, that's an interesting point that you raised, Jels, also, because if you live in an environment or if you're born in an environment where there's always vegetables available, your parents are always eating vegetables, you're going to naturally be predisposed, I guess, to liking vegetables. Would you agree, Doctora?
It depends kasi talaga. Kasi, you know what, Philippine culture kasi is very rich. So when you look back, then in the rural areas, talagang ganun yung magiging, ganun yung lifestyle nila. But again, what you eat doesn't mean na ganun yung magiging anak mo. So parang ganun. Let's just break that belief or myth.
Okay.
What about this one? What about this one is something I hear all the time. I'm sure you've heard it also, Jelly. Pag girl, if you're growing a female inside you, you're gonna be blooming because you have excess hormones or what? But if you're growing a boy, you're gonna grow heavier, things like that. Is that true?
So pag sinabihan ka ng mga friends mo, hulaan ko baby mo, I think you're having a boy. Alam na.
Alam na.
So what are you trying to say?
Masyadong blooming. Well, here's my take. Pregnancy in general causes our hormones to go up. But your look doesn't really determine the gender. So walang truth doon. You may be pretty, but boy siya. Again, let's go back to what culture has taught us. Na pag girl, blooming. Pag guy, de-blooming ka. Parang ganun. So,
wilting.
Wilting ka. Boy, wilting. Pero that's not true. That's not true. No. That's definitely not true. You can be blooming or getting prettier, but you're having a boy.
Okay. In short, okay. Kung maganda ka talaga whatever pregnancy it is you have.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag ganda lang.
Okay, since we're talking about myths here, and this is becoming popular in every single household nowadays, essential oils. Can that actually cause contractions? Kasi parang our titas are saying, oh, don't use essential oils kasi that may cause contractions. It's absorbed by your skin. It might not be good for your baby. What's your take on EOs?
Do you do that, by the way, Doctora? Are you a fan of essential oils?
Lavender. I'm a fan of lavender. It helps me relax kasi. But my take on essential oils is just like any other a substance we apply in our body, we have to be careful also about it. So just ensure that it's diluted. So it's not like pure lavender or something. And again, you have to seek your OB's approval first. So that's my take. Pregnancy is one of the things that we are careful of, where we are careful pagdating sa essential oil. Although I'm not an expert sa EO, but as far as I know, careful rin on the way you use it. Just like babies din. It has to be diluted very well pa. And I think you choose your oils pa, the way I understand it.
Somewhat related to oils, prenatal massage, is that advisable? Not advisable? Does it cause contractions? Does it help?
piliin lang yung area. So usually legs is okay. Basta wag lang dun sa may belly area.
Pero yun ang masakit.
Pero ano na lang, other parts na lang, parang, at saka it has to be ano ha, wag yung hard massage. Ano lang, parang, ano ko ba ito term to? Basta soft. Wag yung hardcore na, what do you call that massage na ano?
Shatsu? Masabayin,
hard shatsu.
Shitsu nga yung nasa vibe. Aso yun eh, wait.
close malapit enough.
Na.
No.
Malapit na. Close kulang enough. Na lang isang letter.
Close enough.
Ayun. It's okay. Basta, wag lang sobrang hard. And just be careful sa area. Because ano rin eh, massaging your legs upwards can actually help in the blood circulation. So that's fine. It's okay. Mild lang.
Okay, I have one more question before we move on to sort of another topic completely. We're about to talk about the daddies and how they can actually help their pregnant wives. But before we get into that, I am sure they are concerned and want to know, can they still have sex while pregnant?
Oo naman.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking that on behalf of all of the... Sabi ni doktora.
Wag lang sana. Wag lang pag high risk. Again, we just a disclaimer that as long as it's not a high risk pregnancy and beyond the first trimester, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Ano lang, careful lang. But of course, pregnancy shouldn't be a hindrance. Okay. It shouldn't hinder you from having sex.
Okay, Doc, you said as long as it's not a high-risk pregnancy. So if it's not a high-risk pregnancy, what's the time frame that you can work with?
Okay.
When you say what's the time frame, does that mean how often? Or
No, I mean like from conception to third trimester, second trimester. And sige, ipasok na rin natin yung frequency.
Yeah.
Second trimester is okay.
Okay.
Kasi pag second, okay na eh. Medyo stable na, so to speak. And then
so
third,
no during the first trimester?
As much as possible, no. Because that's the delikado talaga pag first trimester. Everything happens during the first trimester. So that's from the first month to the third month. The fourth month to the sixth month, pwede. Pero don't make it daily. Huwag naman. Okay.
Okay.
And then, para clear.
You can't make up for lost time. You can't make up for lost time? And then you can't also invest for the third trimester.
The third, okay lang, as long as walang bleeding, and that's okay.
Okay.
And then postpartum, when your wife gives birth, wag muna mga first while first, breastfeeding, kasi wag muna, kasi sakit nun.
Okay.
So, first after mga 3 months, wag muna, kasi. It's quite painful also pag ganyan. Lalo na pag ano, post-cesarean section. That's cesarean, a different, CS is a different scenario also. So, wag na muna mga after 3 months, 4 months, wag na muna.
Okay.
Concentrate muna sa baby.
The baby.
That's when the fights happen also. Ha? But this isn't scientifically based. Ha? Pero based on my friends, yun, doon nangyayari yung mga issues. Kasi nga, you can't, yung mga suppress.
You mean the first 3 months postpartum?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes, that's true. First 3 months of pregnancy and last 3 months, yun, nagkakaroon ng common talaga yung mga, ano, mga issues.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna, I think we can jump right into the next topic. After that, and I think we can also, like, talking about massage a while ago, I asked specifically about massage because that was one of, like, from personal experience, one of the few ways that I could really try to help my wife when she was pregnant. Like, she would ask for it, and you know, masakit na talaga ganyan, but massage naman. So As a dad, my experience was I really didn't know very much what to do to help. So massage, I think, was one of the only few ways. But what are some of the other ways that maybe I wasn't able to explore that dads can also do to help moms, either during pregnancy or postpartum?
Like simple chores in the house, if you don't have a helper, tapos yung wife, yung more of the household type of person, you may help out on that. And like simple things like reaching out for something, especially pag last trimester when it really gets heavy na. And there are already breathing problems. Kasi when you sleep, it's difficult na. Jelly would know, no? Diba? Parang, lalo na pag malaki na and you're about to pop, ang hirap na matulog. And we advise the wives to lie to their left para mas okay yung circulation. And then massaging sa back, that is really, actually, that has a psychological parang association also. Of parang feeling connected with your partner and with your child. Kasi physical touch is very powerful. So, those are... And yung mga, how are you? What can I do?
Right.
Extra pampering your wives when they're pregnant or your partners are actually very assuring.
So you mentioned, if you're home a lot or if your partner does a lot of chores, you help out with the chores. What if both of you are still working out of the house all the time? You have the pressures of work on top of living together in a home. What are the other ways that you could show support from the conversations you've had from moms? What do they usually not get? What are they lacking in terms of that kind of affirmation or verbal or what show of support from their partners?
So some of them, sabi nila, bakit ayun yung mga hindi na sinusundo, yung mga ganun, mga little errands that you do. If your offices are near each other or if far away, parang that's also a type of language of love. Eh. Parang you pick her up, tapos you bring her home, bring her little
baon,
things.
Baon, maybe. Prepare baon.
Sobrang sweet niyan. Prepare baon. Send a text message how you are. Check on them. Because most of the time, mukhang okay lang sa partner na parang wala yan. Pero that matters when we're pregnant, diba? Kasi may surge of hormones na talagang even in terms of the mental health, it's nakaka-affect rin siya. So you keep reassuring that you're there. Again, I can't underestimate the power of reassurance that whatever happens, you're gonna be there. Tapos here pa, samahan nyo pag may prenatal checkups. That's very important. Because ano yan eh,
appreciated.
Yes, that's very much appreciated. Especially mga pag last trimester, every week magpa-follow up na yan. So when you go with your partner, that means a lot. Sobra talaga yan. Samahan mo lang, ikaw na yung pumila. That means a lot.
Fill up the forms, set up the appointments,
reminding yung ikaw yung magbibigay ng multivitamins, sobrang sweet niyan. So those are little things you may do to help your spouse or partner get through pregnancy.
But is it correct to say, sorry, that the fights are inevitable? What's the right mindset from a guy, the dad, no? The fights are inevitable, and just do what you can, be there. Is that the right mindset?
And is there a scientific reasoning as to why women are supposedly more belligerent when they're pregnant?
It's really all about the hormones.
It really affects.
So,
okay.
It makes us more sensitive. So, yung fights, just like any other fights, talk about it too. Kasi masama rin naman if you suppress your emotions. That's not gonna help it because that's stressful for both of you. And your baby can actually feel that. So it's treat it like a normalize the conversations. It's as if wala yung baby, and just work things out. Because the least that you both need from a father standpoint and mother standpoint is the stress of not talking about issues that are there.
Okay. Is there also a medical reason for the cravings? And should the man or the partner always provide all these cravings?
Again, I'll go back to the hormones. Kasi wild talaga si hormones eh. So it can. It's a main factor in terms of cravings. Well, part of the support is getting them what they want. Like, and minsan, it's not always about food. Sometimes it's you. Like there are some women who just want you there all
the
time.
They just want to see you, yeah.
Yeah, they just want to see you. Tapos sabi nga ng mga elderly natin, based mga ancestors natin, mas magiging kamukha mo. Again, ayan na naman. Let's bust that myth na it's not true. Okay? Ito pa, there's this myth pa na pagkamukha daw ng husband, mas mahal ka.
I was gonna say, oo.
Yun, di ba?
Pagkamukha ng lalaki, if your child looks like the husband, it means that the woman is more in love.
Oo, tama.
And the child looks like the wife. The husband is the one who's more in love. So there's no truth to that.
There's no truth into that.
So many love, bits.
Love is something that is subjective. So yeah, the look of the baby is not a gauge of the intensity of the love.
It's just the intensity of the genes.
It's the genes. Yeah, it's the genes that ano talagang that matters.
Doc G, I'll just go back to something that you mentioned earlier, like you said, the husband should be the one to remind the wife, or apologies, the partner should be the one reminding the pregnant lady to take her multivitamins. Are there specific vitamins or supplements that is needed specifically when you're pregnant?
For the first trimester, you need to take folic acid because it prevents spine disorders. And then multivitamins. There's just continue that all throughout. And don't forget calcium. We usually give calcium during the second to the third trimester because the bones kasi start to, you know, you have to build on the bones too. So those are the required vitamins during pregnancy. Required yun talaga. You don't have to take it.
Always prescribed by your OBGYN.
Yes, all the time. Okay. That's guaranteed.
All right. Since we started off the whole show talking about mental health, let's go into that right now. What are your tips or pieces of advice that you have for those who are expecting with regards to their thoughts and emotions while pregnant?
Okay. It's very important that you express it. Okay. When you feel it, you express it. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your partner about it. Because all your feelings are valid. That's one. Because there's a part in pregnancy na parang you feel so ugly. So, quote-unquote. And I felt it personally. And and it's a valid feeling. Kasi may body changes. So, you question it. And it's okay. You seek support. Ano pa ba? Self-doubts, yes. And of course, there's that anxiety factor. Because even if you're a second or third time mom, it's a challenge giving birth. Kaya ako cesarean ako eh from the start kasi ayoko talaga manganak. I mean, I'm literally scared of labor.
Okay.
And so there's really constant reassurance because the anxiety all throughout mas nag-i-intensify yan pag makanganak na. So as a partner, you just have to listen. You don't have to really give advice. You just have to listen and pag umiyak, fine, that's okay. Just someone to listen and assure that you're there no matter what.
From your discussions with your new moms, with new moms, or even as you mentioned, second timers, third timers, is it a recurring theme or a recurring problem, the feeling of losing your freedom, your identity, and is there a way that you you know, you can advise them to be able to cope with that, to be cope to, I guess the new normal. Everyone's throwing around the phrase the new normal, but I think giving birth to a person is the best example of what a new normal is.
Yes, that's true.
How does one cope with that? And I guess, you know, also of ano na rin, tangent to that na rin, as the father, how do you support during that time that you brought a new person into the world?
Okay, during pregnancy, you have to plan na rin how you're going to go about it. Kasi andiyan yung you have to maghahati kayo ng shift. Because it's not like all night, it's the mom who's going to be awake. So dapat pati doon sa decking ng from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. ikaw yung gising. So those are some things that you need to talk about. And taking care of your baby is also a whole new world, no? So you also have to learn how to change diapers, how to give them a bath, help them out in terms, because lalo na yung mga breastfeeding moms. Mm-hmm. Because breastfeeding is still number one. Assist them on that. Kasi yan ang mga challenges na mga after, moms who give birth after yung breastfeeding. So being of assistance during those times, yan, that matters.
Doc Gia, since we're already discussing postpartum, just a few concerns with like my postpartum journey. First of all, is there truth to postpartum depression, and is it true for all women?
Okay, number one, postpartum depression happens.
Okay.
Number two, it doesn't happen to everyone. And number three, if you experience postpartum depression, please know that it's not something that's forever. Just like any other mental illness naman, it can be managed as long as you talk about it and you seek support. So,
okay,
I hope that helps out.
How soon does postpartum depression set in? And for how long can it last?
Okay. Usually it sets in mga after three days after you give birth. Nagsiset in na yan. 3 days and it may last. It may last for 1 week. Pero pag lumampas na yan ng 1 week or naglinger na siya, even more than a week, mga after 2 weeks. And then it starts to affect the quality of your life. Then you may already need psychiatric help. Not in a bad way, psychiatric or psychological help. Yeah, it works both ways.
What are the signs?
Sorry.
Apologies, JC. What are the signs that you do have postpartum depression? Like, what are you experiencing? Is it you're crying all the time? You can't sleep? Well, you can't really sleep when you have a newborn baby. So, ano yung mga experience? Pwedeng ma-experience?
You mentioned an emotion that's very common. You're crying all the time. You're unusually sad. You tend, parang you're isolating yourself. Instead of becoming more attached to your baby, parang you find yourself wanting to be alone and you don't enjoy. Yung talagang, parang it's all heavy on you and your quality of life is already suffering. So those are possible signs, and you can't sleep. You can't sleep or you're overeating, just like the depression spectrum. That's the same with postpartum. Yun nga lang, iba lang yung circumstances. And just like depression, if a sadness lingers more than 2 weeks, then it may be a sign of depression.
One more thing, I'm mentioning an experience here, and this is not something I've actually talked about publicly yet, but I'll bring it up here. I don't think I experienced that kind of postpartum depression immediately after giving birth. It was maybe a couple of months after, but mine was, I wanted to hurt my baby. Mm-hmm. Is that still a sign of postpartum depression? Or is that something I need to have looked at?
Well, honestly, ngayon pa lang yan narinig. But yes, it can be a sign that you may need support. Pero kung naagapan naman, Jelly, it can still be a part of, kasi may adjustment phase postpartum. Okay. So it can be basta naagapan lang and hindi nangyari. Mm. But still, if it happens,
it's really a scary thought. Just I remember when I would have those thoughts. My daughter was probably about maybe a month or a month and a half. Mm-hmm. But it was debilitating for me because I was scared to hold her. Kasi nga, I would have these thoughts and I just wanted to make sure I didn't act on it. So I didn't want to go to her. I didn't want to touch her. And I was all alone. I didn't have support of parents. Mm-hmm. I didn't have help. I didn't have my partner because he worked nights. And then when he gets home, he needs to sleep. So I was practically alone with the baby all day long. Naagapan naman in the sense na 5 years old na siya. So wala naman ako kinuha. But it's, you know, it's just something that really still scares me to this day. I was wondering if it was, you know, postpartum depression. So it's not normal to have thoughts like that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Especially.
Thanks for opening up.
Yeah. No, thank you, Jelly.
Thank you, Jelly.
But I think, I think it is my inexpert opinion is, of course, it's a manifestation of a feeling that a lot of new moms share. Like I've heard, I've heard it described this way, na parang I didn't think it would be this hard, or I thought it would be wonderful. Why is it not? Yeah, so I've heard it described that way. So even if that kind of thought didn't occur to other moms, I'm sure it's coming from the same place.
Yeah, it is. It's a new ano kasi parang you're taking care of a brand new human being na you don't know where to start, and parang you're so fragile. Mm. Yeah. So even me, like me and my husband, we're both doctors. Kahit kami talaga parang dapat alam natin to, pero we find ourselves panicking. So it's really part of adjusting. And even if you have parang hindi na second baby, third, it can still happen. So if you're questioning if it's still normal kahit na third child mo, fourth, yes, you can experience that still.
So before it's even diagnosed clinically as postpartum depression, when you start that, when you have that heavy feeling, that sadness, what are the things that you should avoid? Maybe food, activities that will kind of exacerbate and make it worse. And what are the things, mood lifters naman, things that will kind of help you be more positive about your new normal?
Well, ano talaga, for me, walang food naman talaga, exact food to lift you up. Although may studies na yan, mga bananas, bananas are mood lifters because they contain tryptophan. So it kind of boosts up your mood. But still, there's no substitute to asking and seeking support, or kasi there are a lot of groups who are exerting their efforts in terms of listening if you're experiencing something not normal sa iyo. So again, for me, please do seek support whenever you feel something unusual in terms of your feelings. And of course, talk to your partner. That's number one.
Just a few more things, Doc Gio, with regards to postpartum. Postpartum body. Everyone is excited and pressured to bounce back and get their pre-baby bodies back. Are we allowed to exercise? And how soon after giving birth can we exercise?
Well, if it's a cesarean section, after 2 months pa yan eh. And it has to be slowly pa.
Okay.
But as soon as you can, if it's normal delivery, as soon as you can,
okay,
you can already engage because it also helps in your mood. Eh. So exercise really is a mood lifter.
Okay.
Because it increases metabolism, improves your well-being. It does. Yun lang, a special shout out lang sa mga post-cesarean moms that it takes time pa, mga after minimum of 8 weeks.
Okay. Wow.
Pag normal, doc?
Pag normal, as soon as you can. But usually mga after 2 weeks. Basta start slow. And start slow, ha? Huwag yung biglang tatambo ka na or biglang nag-high intensity training. Start slow. Start by walking and then pace yourself. Yun. That's very important. No? Pace yourself. Have that next checkup with your OB and then ask also for a postnatal certificate, just like what Jelly did during a prenatal certificate.
What about the nutrition? Is there anything that should they, are they now allowed to go on a diet, or are there specific foods they should be taking in to help them with breastfeeding? And is it true that when you breastfeed, you lose the weight?
Yes, it's actually, it helps in the weight loss, and it's also a contraceptive method, breastfeeding, as long as you do it regularly, and it's highly encouraged. In terms of food, malunggay is very rich, and they actually have capsules our moms can take to induce breastfeeding, and it's safe. So food, no food talaga, just eat in moderation. Wala naman siyang special diet eh. And please remember that don't pressure yourself also in getting back into your prenatal body kaagad. It takes time.
Yeah.
And you just have to prioritize. So, kasi ang tendency is moms get overwhelmed when they give birth. So I think what will help them is to prioritize ano ba talaga muna yung una. Yourself, your baby, then your health. Yeah. And of course, the partner comes in terms of supporting her in her journey.
Okay. Excuse me, JC, you will know a little bit too much about me thanks to this podcast. But
go ahead.
Hearing my breastfeeding journey as well, kulang na lang singhutin ko yung malunggay. Everything and anything that had malunggay, I was taking it. I was eating it in terms of malunggay pandesal. I was taking the supplements. I was taking in the cookies. I would have tinola, halaan, anything that could have malunggay in it every single day. But I still wasn't producing enough for my baby. Are there really women who are just not capable of breastfeeding to the capacity that's needed by their child?
Yes, I'm one of them.
Okay, I heard it. Kasi, my doctor said, if you don't come from a breastfeeding family in the sense that your mom, your aunts, your lola did not breastfeed, it's highly possible that you may not be as successful breastfeeding as well.
Well, may ganong angle, but I think it's something that is not hereditary naman.
Okay.
Because my mom breastfed me. Pero me kasi, unfortunately, hindi, no. But we have alternatives to breast. There are breast milk banks that are actually existing and they're safe. And you may actually, want to get from them because there's really no substitute sa breast milk. Eh. So it's super powerful, especially the colostrum that you hear. Mm. That's super powerful. It really is. It's the best.
Okay. But can I just share? I'll send it out to all those who are tuned in, the ladies and including the male partners. If you're not producing enough, don't hesitate to ask your friends for help. Your other friends who are breastfeeding. Don't feel that you are less of a woman, that you are less of a mother, because that was something that I felt. And I stopped myself from asking my friends for help because I felt like, what kind of a mother am I that I'm not capable of producing for my own child? I realized, especially for the new moms, you put so much pressure on yourself. Like, if you gave birth via CS, you're any less of a woman, you're any less of a mother. You know what, ladies? Do not put that weight on you guys. The fact that you got pregnant, you gave birth to another human, you should be mighty proud of yourself already. Seriously.
True. Mm-hmm. Super agree, Jelly. Super agree.
Okay. So, Doc Gia, on a final final note, what is the main thing that you want our listeners to get out of this particular discussion that we had?
Well, motherhood is the best thing that can happen to a woman. And again, you just have to ask. Please, it's like if you verbalize your needs. Don't be afraid to ask if you have any questions or if you feel anything. It's one thing that you feel it, and it's another thing that you talk about it. And I think during these times when we are all aware about mental health, etc., it's time to talk about the things that we feel, especially in the term in pregnancy. We have to talk about, because it's really a different, if I may term it phenomenon, it's a different phenomenon. So talk about it, share it, and I hope the partners will be as supportive.
Okay. That is beautiful. Partners, listen up.
And super thanks to you and JC. JC Jelly, thank you for guesting me.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
You know, for our very first, we just had to have the best, you know?
Oh my God.
Thank you so much. Thank you for accepting the invitation, Doc Gia.
Thanks, guys.
Another sort of piece of advice I'd like to send out to all those going through pregnancy out there. It helped me a lot to just keep in mind that this gets better. When things got difficult, when I wasn't getting any sleep, when I was having problems breastfeeding, every single time anything got difficult, I just kept thinking, this will get better. It keeps getting better. It will get better. Like you said, you know, it's just a time frame. It's just temporary. You will get over that as well, and it will improve. So just keep that in mind anytime you feel like you can't do it anymore. Or why, just like JC said, I thought this was supposed to be wonderful. Why is it not?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I got two great takeaways, I think, from our talk with Dr. Gia Jelly. Ask for help. This goes for the moms, obviously. Ask for help. If you have a question or if you have, you know, like, for example, if you really need that cup of coffee, you want to drink that cup of coffee, ask for help from your OB. And if you really want to exercise, you know, you want to do some squats or what, ask your OB. If you're overwhelmed, seek support, you know, ask for help. And then on the flip side, if you're the partner, help before you're asked. I think I think that's what I got from this. You know what? Very often, you know, your partner, if you're the dad and you're listening, very often your partner wouldn't ask for that baon, wouldn't ask whether it's because she's nahihiya or she thinks you have your plate is full. She would hesitate to ask for help. So I think the best policy is to just give it. Because you know she needs it. Because even if she doesn't ask, and I think that's how a partnership works, right, Jels?
That's how
a parent team works. So ask for help and then help before you're asked. That's my takeaway.
Nice.
Thank you again. Once so much, again, Doc. Folks, that is Doc Gia Sison. Thank you for guesting on the Parent Team Podcast. There are numerous ways you can get in touch with Doc Gia. You will find her on all media outlets out there. Thanks again, Doc Gia. This has been the Parent Team Podcast. It has been a pleasure being with you guys, and we'll catch you again at the next episode. See ya!
Bye!
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Parent Team Podcast.
Real parents facing modern problems together.
Brought to you by Wyeth Nutrition Parent Team and powered by Podcast Network Asia.
For updates on the show, please make sure to subscribe to the Parent Team Podcast on all podcast platforms.
Yep. And for more Wyeth Nutrition Parent Team content, visit www.wyethparentteam.com.ph.